News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right here on the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama, WVNN. And yes, this is the biggest show across the afternoons in North Alabama, and that is because of y'all. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And I'll tell you, too, there's a lot going on here in the show on a regular basis, most of which you can find on our website. If you want to check that out, rightsideradio.org, any given day, you can go there. You'll find the things that, for instance, if you listen to the show the day before and you want to hear a certain part of it over again or send a clip of it to somebody, we have it all there in various forms of podcasting. Like, by the way, we're over 26,000 downloads as of this morning.
Cool, that's so awesome.
I know, we're kicking. We got to do some t-shirts or something. We hit 30,000 again.
Yeah.
At this rate, that'll be like next week. But yeah, so that's on there. We've got the Right Side Store where you can order coffee mugs, t-shirts, all that kind of stuff, stickers. I've got a friend who just this morning got one of the Right Side water bottles and a sticker and put it on her car. Now her husband wants one, so that's cool. And then you got just all kinds of things on there. Copper and I both write a weekly op-ed that comes out in various periodicals. So they're on there. Anyway, rightsideradio.org is our website. We encourage you to go check it out. All our stuff's on there. So I'm going to get into this first section in a few minutes. Before I do, though, I just got to go back to that camel thing. So, Copper, you know how I remembered that this morning?
How?
That would be Charlene. The lovely Charlene reminded me of the camel. She actually found the link and sent it to me, and I forwarded it to you. So that's how we got that lined up for the day. But if y'all have not seen the camel, he's from an old insurance commercial. Thing cracks me up. In fact, they even made other camel commercials because it was so popular. But this camel is literally walking around in an office space in cubicle land, bugging people, trying to, because he's a camel. He's got a hump, right? That's the big deal. It's a hump day. He's trying to get people to say that it's hump day, and he's just poking people basically until somebody finally says it. I want to hear it again. Have you got it again? Can you got it right there where you can play it? Copper?
Yup.
Play it.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, my gosh, that cracks me up. Why does that crack me up so much? I don't know, but it just does. Okay, we're going to play that every Wednesday. It's going to have to happen because, I mean, Mike. I'm over here, by the way. That was me laughing in the background. That wasn't just on the tape. So that's you're getting probably the sense that Phil may have a slightly twisted sense of humor. I don't know for a fact that it's twisted, but perhaps some would view it that way. But yeah, anyway, lots going on. Hey, I got a caller calling in. So let me grab that real quick because I got about a minute and a half. Let me do that. Hey, Mike from Huntsville. Hey, Mike, Phil Williams. How you doing, man?
I'm good, sir. How are you today, Phil?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
You talking about that older gentleman in Canada,
yeah.
And I know you've probably put two and two together, and I know I have. This is where, from the last 2 years, where the defund the police has come into effect. Thousands have retired and left, and they've been able to put in the police officers that they want that will enforce these laws.
Mm. That's a sobering thought.
It is.
You know, I hope that's not true. I mean, there's some good men and women in blue. I mean, they're still there. They really are.
I agree. They are.
I couldn't believe these two guys, though, in the video. It was obvious they literally could have looked at him and said, "Sir, just please, you know, throw us a bone here. Don't honk the horn," and send him on his way. But no, they got him out of the car, and it went downhill from there. Mike, good point. Hope it's not true. But yeah, I know we have had what I would call a blue flight in some cities. Not so much around here, but in places like Portland, they are understaffed and they can't even hire right now. They can't get people in. So that's
oh,
the deal. Mike
it.
From Huntsville. Hey, man, thanks for your call. I appreciate you. We're up against a break, but that was a good call. Stay tuned. I'm going to talk about it more after the break. But yeah, folks, I mean, it was a senseless moment. It was one of those where you look at it and go, dude, you did nothing for your reputation as a police officer. The guy's literally, I mean, I read the article about the description of the man they arrested, Jerry Charlebois is how it's probably pronounced because he's in French-speaking Canada. But Jerry Charlebois, or however you pronounce his name, was literally 4'10", wearing his pajama pants, you know, the flannel pants, and it just, you know, it wasn't good. Go look it up, by the way. His name is spelled Jerry with a G, G-E-R-R-Y. Last name is spelled C-H-A-R-L-E-B-O-I-S, Charlebois, I believe. Not good. When we come back from this break, I'm going to do a whole section on what I call civilized disobedience. There are things happening right now around us, some here in Alabama even, where people are looking at government going, no. And government doesn't know what to do with that because they're not doing it. They're not tearing things down. They're not burning and looting. They're not Antifa. They're just good, solid Joes and Janes who are saying, you know what? No, we're not doing that. Not anymore. And it's having an effect. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams here on Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, listen, number one of the triple dipper, civilized disobedience is what I'm calling it. Civilized disobedience. Now, keep in mind, this show is not advocating for violence. I never would. But what I am saying is there's a time and a place to look at somebody and say no. And that can be hard. You know what? That can be uncomfortable. It can also be uncomfortable for the other side when you say no to them. And I'm going to tell you right now, there are people saying no to government left and right now. Left and right. And partly it's because of the overreaching, the infringement, and also because of the mixed signals. Like, hey, government, if your act's not together, why should we trust you? What? It was 14 days to flatten the curve 2 years ago, and here we are. It was, you know, scientists are reporting the science, right? Science! The science is reporting that masks are not necessarily effective. And yet the CDC still wants to mandate masking of our kids, especially. And you go on and on with this stuff, and you think, golly, when is enough enough? Well, you know, I told you the story in my monologue there about the gentleman that, and just had that caller a moment ago, we talked about it, the great-grandfather, the guy named Jerry Charlebois, who told the Toronto Sun, all I did was give the truckers a thumbs up and a honk, and I'm so sore now, it hurts so much. Because he got wrestled down by two police officers because the mayor of Ottawa has recently enacted a policy saying you cannot honk the horn because he's trying to stifle protest. Well, listen, this is not working out in Canada. And I'm gonna work my way through some stuff here. I'm going to start in Canada, some of which is just outright funny, man. Some of this stuff is just good. And then you look at it and go, wow, and that's just stupid. And then I'm going to move down into civil disobedience right here in the United States, not the least of which was a protest not long ago in Toomer's Corner down in Auburn. But yeah, civil disobedience is exactly that. It is civil. It's non-military. It's non-threatening. It's not designed to tear things up. It is civil. It is conducted in a civilized manner. It is disobedient, meaning that it says no to that which is considered the authority, or against protocols or laws or procedures that are considered to be somewhat inhibitive, restrictive, or in violation of rights or natural law. So, without further ado, let's talk through some of this stuff. Like, for instance, in Canada right now, extremely restrictive. Justin Trudeau is, I mean, I've gotten to where, I mean, he is literally, he's the Obama of Canada. Extremely liberal. And then just yesterday, storyline here off of Politico. That's right. I went to Politico 2 days in a row, by the way. Dated February the 8th. One of the lawmakers from Justin Trudeau's own caucus is accusing the prime minister of dividing and stigmatizing Canadians by politicizing vaccine mandates and COVID-19 restrictions. Oh, yes. Title here is Trudeau's own party is starting to turn on him. Yes, it is. The lawmaker's name is Joel Lightbound. And Lightbound delivered a stunning, scathing assessment Tuesday in Ottawa with the big rigs of the so-called Freedom Convoy just outside the door. He went on to say, quote, this is Lightbound, quote, both the tone and the policies of my government changed drastically on the eve and during the last election campaign. A decision was made to wedge, to divide, and to stigmatize. And I fear this politicalization of the pandemic risks undermining the public's trust in our public health institutions. Well, he's right. And by the way, he's part of the party that's in charge that's making those things happen. And the article goes on to point out that breaking ranks with one's own party in Canada is pretty rare, especially when that party's in power. So it sounds like Lightbound is sort of becoming the Canadian version of Joe Manchin. All right. So Trudeau's up against all kinds of frustration. Well, yesterday on the floor of the Canadian Parliament, it got lively, to say the least. The Conservative minority leader spoke. And then the way they work it there, it's very interesting. The Prime Minister himself is there, present, and he debates back and forth with members of Parliament. Didn't go well for Trudeau. Copper, you got clip one. You good to go on that? You ready to roll? Yes, she is, because she's Copper. Okay, let's do this. This is literally an audio clip from yesterday. I thought it was extremely profound on the floor of the Canadian Parliament. Go ahead and play it.
So will the Prime Minister follow the science, follow the evidence, and the restrictions, and the mandates?
Yeah. Yeah. The Right Honourable Prime Minister.
Mr. Speaker, everyone is sick and tired of lockdowns, of the measures we have to do, of the sacrifices we've had to make. But Canadians have continued to step up over the past 2 years, been there for each other, been there to get vaccinated. And that's the unity we've seen across the country of people who've been there for their neighbours, who've been there for their frontline health workers. That's what Canadians are going to continue to do. That's how we get through and back to the things we love. We're going to continue to follow the science. We're going to continue to have Canadians' backs. We're going to continue to protect people's lives.
The Honourable Leader of the Opposition.
Speaker, countries like Ireland, Sweden, Norway, Israel, Czech Republic, the UK, Spain, Denmark, they're all removing restrictions and mandates, and they're all countries that have a lower vaccine rate than Canada. Here in Canada, though, we have a Prime Minister who refuses to lead and instead is being divisive. I have to agree with the MP for Louis Hebert when he says, people don't know where public health ends and politics begins. Canadians want their lives back. So again, I ask the Prime Minister, will he follow the evidence? Will he follow the science and the mandates and the restrictions quickly?
You can go ahead and stop it there. Stop it right there, Copper. I mean, that good gosh, that was said well. The people of this nation cannot tell where public health ends and politics begins. That's where we are. That's freaking where we are right now. In the United States, in Canada, in multiple Australia, in multiple countries, free countries all over this world. That's where we are in some municipalities, New York City, the whole state of California. I mean, various local and state governments are more restrictive than some national governments. It's amazing to me. And more the people are being fed up. Now, Trudeau's position was, this is what we're going to do. Canadians have stepped up for 2 years. Yes, that's why they're mad, because they've stepped up for 2 years and you won't let up. You keep your thumb on them. Well, VisionTimes.com, story on VisionTimes.com, Canadian periodical. Ottawa bans honking and jerry cans become a symbol of dissent as the Freedom Convoy continues to protest. See, this Freedom Convoy has no sign of letting up right now. I mean, I heard one Freedom Convoy driver who said, yeah, I just had my mail forwarded to the P.O. box right over there, and I'm getting my mail here. I'm just living in my truck. And so what happened was the Ottawa mayor, trying to curtail this and to limit their ability to have an impact, he has basically made it against the law to blow horns. Yeah. And has also made it against the law to bring fuel to the truckers to keep their rigs running so they can turn their heat on and run their generators and that kind of stuff. So what are they doing? The simple jerry can, it says in this article, has become a symbol of dissent in Canada's capital after a single post went viral online stating, quote, one of the greatest trolls in history is going to take place tomorrow. If you live in Ottawa, grab a jerry can and join the party. Everyone's going to be walking around with one in the protest. You don't need gas, just a jerry can. So what happened was they trolled the local leadership by freaking them out because they all, I mean, literally, I saw a video of it. Hundreds of people walking around with those red gas cans like you fill your lawnmower up with, just walking around. And then the police didn't know what to do because some of them were just empty. They're just walking around with an empty. You can't arrest somebody for carrying around an empty gas can. Well, story on the National Post. It goes one step further. Story from the nationalpost.com dated yesterday. Some of those folks are carrying around gas cans filled with water, which makes it even more frustrating. Then the police will stop them and say, "What's in your can?" "Nothing but water." And then they have to stop and smell it and check it all out. And it's just, and so with no end in sight for the protest, they are doing this. And at one point there was like, it was to the point of being called subterfuge because like every third can had gas in it, but the police didn't know which was which. I just think that's funny. I'll be honest with you. I know some would find that to be demoralizing to the police officers who are stuck doing a job that no one wants right now. Because some of those officers, by the way, will do whatever and they could care less about individual rights. But the majority of them, I guarantee you, the majority of them hate it and it's their job. And I'm hoping they'll start themselves looking and saying to their police union, "Would you say something to leadership because we can't keep going down this road?" But on top of that, though, the deputy police chief of Ottawa said that the gas cans filled with water, he says it does provide a layer of logistical complexity. I'd say, in other words, it's confusing as all get out. But when you see stuff like, and this story breaks my heart, when you see stuff like this, and sometimes I have to go local news to find true news. You know what I'm saying? Because the narrative is written at the national level a lot of times, and they stick with the narrative. Sometimes you got to find the stories, though, that go down to the local. This one comes off of a website called MyNorthwest.com, dated yesterday. A 61-year-old retiree named George, they left off his last name on purpose. But George's wife has been admitted to the Providence Regional Medical Center, and I believe that's in Providence, Rhode Island, but I could be wrong. But George's 65-year-old wife was admitted to the hospital, and it says he is concerned and scared because Providence Regional Medical Center's COVID visitation policy has not allowed him to see her. They've been married for 38 years, and he may not be able to see her for weeks. He said, "My wife suffered a life-threatening event." She had a stroke, apparently. He said, "There's no straight answer on how this is going to end, and I am separated from her, and she is alone and scared, and apparently her ability to communicate has been impacted, so he can't talk to her over the phone. He can't be there to hold her hand. He can't be there to see his wife." God, that's the kind of stuff, though, that is causing people right now to say, "Enough. How dare you stop me from seeing the love of my life?" I'm going to tell you, I've said it on the air before. If that was me and that was Charlene, I would go ahead and just steal a lab coat, put a stethoscope around my neck, looking like I was somebody, and walk through the door of the employees only section of the hospital and go find my wife. God bless him. But that's the kind of thing that is causing what I refer to as civilized disobedience. Well, it's growing. It's growing a lot. And right now, the plans for a protest by truckers in the United States is gaining momentum. So as Ottawa, New York Times reporting, as of yesterday, as Ottawa remained paralyzed by nearly 2 weeks of protest against pandemic measures, the demonstrations continued to reverberate beyond Canada. There's a new blockade temporarily cutting off the borders. There's also copycat convoys, it says, in New Zealand and Australia. And there's plans for a third one right now growing in the United States. They may be announcing even today what the route's going to be for the United States. Now, the New York Times likes to refer to these as anti-vaccine activists, and they're not. It's a freedom convoy, and they've made that very clear. We're not anti-vax, we're anti-mandate. We're anti-loss of freedom. All right, Copper, go ahead and move us to a break. Listen, we come back from this next break, I'm going to break it down and take this into civil disobedience that we're seeing right now in the realm of masking in schools. Students, parents, sometimes teachers are saying enough, enough. Time to say no. Time to say we're done with this. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. So yeah, that situation right there with the you know, the hospital, I think, has gotten some attention. I see I got a caller on. Oh, Jeff from Indiana. Hey, line four, let me grab that real quick, Copper. Jeff from Indiana. Hey, brother, how you doing today?
Doing great, Phil.
What's on your mind, man?
Hey, well, I've got a good story about the I can relate to the guy in the hospital. Last November, my dad was in the hospital for about a week and before he passed away.
Oh,
and they would only allow one person for the whole visit. And my 93-year-old mother was up there, and I have power of attorney, which they thought he could make good decisions at 94 years old.
Yeah.
And which he was pretty far gone at that time anyway. But I had to go through hospital administration to finally get to let me to be in the room with him. It was just me and mom and him. And, you know, they nobody else could come. None of the other family, you strictly, one person per visitor per the whole stay.
Oh, man.
The second he passed away, they brought in tea, coffee, a bunch of snacks and everything, told us that we could bring as many people up as we could, as we wanted to. Everybody could come then. And, in the same room. So it really makes a lot of sense, don't it?
No, and I know you're being sarcastic when you say that, but it doesn't make sense. It doesn't. And it also, there's a whole lot of mental health involved with getting your physical health back and being able to see your loved ones and, just know that they're there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge part of total wellness. And they're denying that out of some fear of liability or something else, I guess. I'm so sorry y'all had to go through that, man. I really am.
I appreciate that, Phil.
Well, blessings on your family. And this needs to stop. Jeff, thanks for the call, brother. You take care. Stay safe on the road. That's an awful situation. That should not happen, but it's happened so much in the last 2 years. Can't go and have a funeral. Can't have a wedding. Can't visit someone in the hospital. Can't have an opportunity to go and see your mother or grandmother or grandfather at the nursing home. There's no physical touch allowed. Do they understand the depth to which just a hug will mean something to somebody, especially when they are separated from family by virtue of being in a nursing home or something like that? Just sitting there and being able to hold their hand can change the dynamic of the moment. And when these hospitals do this, they are destroying the opportunity to allow mental health to be addressed in the course of working on physical health, and all in the name of liability. I mean, they're not doing this because, they don't know what to do. They and by the way, they could say, like in Jeff's case, they could have said, we can rotate the visitors and give you just to have fewer people in the room. But my gosh. Well, listen, saying no is a thing, all right? I'm not sure I'm going to get through some of this, and I may wind up having to wait till after my interview with State Senator Bill Holtzclaw, who's coming on at the top of the hour. But right now we are seeing, I'm sitting here looking at a website. I just pulled it up to check the headlines, and sure enough, there's the CDC. The CDC giving no indication when they're going to update their mask guidance for schools, despite the fact that numerous studies are now showing that masking of children lacks efficacy. It does not do the things that they want to say that it does. The cloth masks that kids wear, the kind you order that wind up coming from China, just like the China flu did, do not do the things that they are posting on the CDC's website as a means of prevention. They're nothing. They're a cloth diaper. They're nothing, or a face diaper. They're nothing but a pacifier, in a sense, to the situation. Yet the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, public enemy number two, next to, our favorite guy from the NIH. It's just amazing to me, y'all. Time to say no. I got more on this stuff. I'm going to save that for a little bit later. I'm going to come back to it. We're not done with that topic, civil disobedience, today. The whole thing's on that. But I got a buddy coming on who knows how to fight. I've been in scraps with him. Bill Holtzclaw, running for state senate. Going to ask him, hey, Bill, why are you getting back in? He'll be on with us next. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.